This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We begin today with a growing and increasingly contentious debate about Boston's effort to compel its largest nonprofits, colleges, museums, and hospitals, to pay more for city services.
But whatever you do, don't call it a tax, because the state constitution exempts nonprofits from most taxes, including real estate taxes. The thinking here, which dates back more than 200 years, is that these organizations perform good works that would otherwise fall to government.
So the city calls it a payment in lieu of taxes, or a pilot. Most nonprofits have been making voluntary pilot payments for years. But faced with a stubborn recession and declining tax receipts, Boston is asking its largest nonprofits to increase those payments in a big way, from roughly $15 million this year to almost $50 million within 5 years.
And this sets up a pretty serious debate, as you'll hear in a moment. On one side are folks who point out that more than half of the city's land is owned by nonprofits, so Boston simply can't afford not to collect taxes on all that real estate.
But on the other side, opponents say this is nothing less than a short-sighted Orwellian effort to shame nonprofits into forking over more dough. They say it's only a matter of time before the city imposes this, well, this tax on all nonprofits.
So there it is. And to start us off, we're joined in the studio by Boston City Council President Stephen Murphy. And welcome, President Murphy. Council President Murphy, great to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've been advocating for 5 years or so that the city's nonprofits pay more. Tell us why. Make your best pitch for
this. Well, the city of Boston has only a few ways to collect revenue. And those are, we're kind of hamstrung, as are most cities. There is the property tax, which accounts for about 67% of our revenue, state aid, which is about 18%, and then fees, fines, and interest on investments, which account for the rest of it. So we don't have a tax code that allows us to share in sales tax or in income taxes as the state does, as the federal government does. And as you stated in your opening, 54% of the land and buildings in Boston right now are tax exempt, and that number is growing.
I heard you could actually almost walk across the city on tax exempt land.
You really could. Yeah. And when I took office in January of 97, it was 51% of the land and buildings in the city were tax exempt, and now it's 54. And if we keep allowing that expansion to go on and on, pretty soon we hit a wall and we cannot meet basic services that the citizens of Boston, the residents of Boston, require us to meet: education, public safety, public works, et cetera. So we had to take a look at this pilot payment in lieu of taxes, which was actually born under the John Collins and early Kevin White administrations back in the late 1960s, mm-hmm. Whereby an advisory group that's now called the Boston Municipal Research Bureau was originally called the Vault, and it was the leaders of the business financial community of Boston. They were kind of set aside as an arm that would advise city government, and they had suggested a pilot payment in lieu of taxes from some of our larger tax-exempt organizations. And basically what they suggested was that since we can all agree that 25% of the city's budget is public safety and public works oriented, that these institutions should voluntarily pay 25% of what they would normally pay were they a taxable entity, towards upkeep and maintenance of city services. And it was agreed upon in the late 60s and early 70s and kind of just fell askew. And
So you joined, you were on a task force essentially that put together a recommendation, right, that would basically stick to that 25% idea, right?
We basically put together a formula. There were 8 members on the task force, and the president of Boston University was one of them. I was one. The vice president of Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital, the vice president of government affairs for John Hancock, the CEO of the Codman Square Health Center, the partners, healthcare CEO Tom Glynn. There were 8 of us, and we sat down and we worked over about 16 months to go over what payment in lieu of taxes were being made by institutions. And we focused basically on EDS and MEDS, educational and medical institutions, because they were our largest institutions, and focused on them first, and tried to figure out what they should be paying versus what they are paying and come up with some type of a formula that we could all agree would remain voluntary and would be fair to each institution vis-a-vis one another and also fair to the property tax owners in Boston.
I have a couple of examples here, and not to pick on anyone, but just in the research that we did, a couple of examples jumped out. The Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center pays $167,000 this year. Under your formula, over 5 years, they would pay more than $3 million.
Right.
Another example, Museum of Fine Arts, they paid $66,000 this year. They would be asked to pay more than $1 million in 5 years.
Well, we haven't asked the museums at all yet to step up. We've really focused this on educational and medical institutions.
I see. Okay.
Out of the gate.
But it's still voluntary, and yet the city wants to publicize who's paying what, and I gather that's partly an effort to compel folks to pay what you regard as their fair share.
Well, we had 8 people in the room, and we had every major institution in the room during the 15-16 months of discussion. And at the end of the process, there was an 8-0 vote of the task force that we would implement a new formula based over 5 years to increase pilot payments. And nobody shied away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back about 6 weeks ago, pilot bills went out to these same institutions. And I think everybody's in the kind of frame of mind that let's see if anybody blinks and who blinks first at this point, because again, it's a voluntary payment. We can't change tax code. We'd have to go to a fight in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
and at the State House to change tax code. We didn't want that fight. They didn't want that fight. So we said, let's see if we can come up with something that still works as a voluntary system. And right now, we had agreement on the task force, and nobody in the room really batted an eyelash as we voted this thing through. Now the rubber hits the road as the bill comes out, and it's my determination that we should put this as part of the City of Boston Code of Ordinances and say, we have adopted a formula. Here is the formula, and let's see who meets it and who doesn't. And therefore, we can just say who is meeting their obligation in terms of being a good partner, a good citizen.
And who is not.
And who is not.
What about the argument, before I bring in another voice into here, I just want to ask you, what about the argument that these organizations are tax exempt for good reason? Mm-hmm. That universities, hospitals do important work that if left to government would cost much, much more.
Well, they do. I mean, they do. We cannot deny the fact that because of our A-list institutions, hospitals and universities, Boston is a world-class city. BU, Harvard, Northeastern, BC, the bigger ones, Mass General, Brigham and Women's, Beth Israel Hospital, Children's Hospital. They are part of the ambiance of what is a great city here in Boston. But when you look at all the people that they employ and all of the economic activity that they engender, the city of Boston itself doesn't realize much of anything. Because there is a sales tax that goes into the economic activity. There is an employment tax that goes to the state and to the federal government. And what everybody agreed on, I guess, was that there were basic city services that were used by for-profit and non-profit alike. Police services, fire services, ambulance services, public work services.
So all should pay.
So that's where the formula was developed. The 25% of the city budget was
mm-hmm.
police, fire, and public works and EMS services. Therefore, we're asking for a voluntary contribution of 25% of what you would pay if you're a taxable entity.
All right, listeners, we're talking right now to Stephen Murphy. He's the Boston City Council president. And we're asking you what you think about this. Should Boston nonprofits pay more to the city, especially in these difficult times? Do you think it's fair that the city's hospitals, that its universities, including Boston University, which owns this radio station, aren't required to pay local taxes, although many of them do pay a pilot payment? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we suggested that this would be a bit of a debate today, so I want to welcome Tim Delaney. He's president of the National Council of Nonprofits in Washington, D.C., and he joins us from a studio at NPR. And Mr. Delaney, good to have you.
Thanks, Anthony.
And I lifted a bit of your language earlier from a piece you wrote on Huffington Post about this. You called what Boston's doing short-sighted and Orwellian. How so?
Well, first, before we get into the debate, I want to salute the council president and all the elected officials in Boston. They have a very difficult time in front of them, as do public officials across America. This recession, the Great Recession, has hurt governmental entities, but it's also hurt nonprofits. Sure. At the same time that the demand for our services are skyrocketing, the amount of money that's coming to us is plummeting. Corporate donations are almost invisible. Individual donations, the IRS recently calculated, is down about 20%. Governments are not paying on their contracts when they turn to nonprofits to deliver basic services. Foundation giving is down. So nonprofits are already in harm's way. So on top of that situation, we now have the city of Boston turning, in violation of state law, to say that they want to take money from nonprofit missions. Let's be perfectly clear. Let's go back to Massachusetts law that says that the city cannot legally tax nonprofits. The state or the Commonwealth's law specifically exempts from taxation the property of charitable organizations.
This is, in fact, enshrined in state constitution. But Stephen Murphy here says this would be voluntary. So is that a tax?
Well, they and that's where the Orwellian term comes in. You can call it a watermelon. You can call it a giraffe. But at the end of the day, when they are sending out, as he put it, their pilot bills, it's not a letter requesting information. The councilman himself said it's a pilot bill. These are simulated tax payment Dunning notices saying you need to be paying this. And it's based on a percentage of the amount of property that organizations own. Mm-hmm. And so you can call it whatever you want. At the end of the day, it is a tax. And you can call it voluntary until you're blue in the face. But the fact of the matter is, when they send out pilot bills on as simulated tax payment notices, it is and then under the coercion of saying, if you don't pay, we're going to be publicizing you and notifying the world that you're not paying. Something's wrong with that.
Well, Tim Delaney, let me get Stephen Murphy to respond. Stephen Murphy, there's Tim Delaney saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? So how do you respond
to
that?
Well, Tim correctly points out that it's voluntary. And, I appreciate Tim's approbation of my efforts and the efforts of city government and his acknowledgement that we are in tough financial times. And I said at the outset that one of our most difficult problems is the fact that we don't have a tax equity here in the city, that we are obligated, frankly, to receive only one. There's only one piece of revenue we can receive, and that's property taxes. We don't have an ability to get sales tax or income tax. We acknowledge that these universities are great employers and great economic engines for our city. But a lot of them, frankly, have their primary mission, which is either medical or educational. But their other mission, frankly, has been expansion of real estate. And they're in the real estate business just as well as they're in the educational business. And I can talk about, one university built a brand new arena that they have nearby here, and they have concerts at that arena, and they
We're
have
talking
other
about
venues.
Boston University right here.
Sure, and
which,
you know,
in the interest of full disclosure, own WBUR,
sure.
So we're very much in the middle of this debate. Although I'm trying to stay sort of on the outside here and arbitrate the
discussion.
So
there are more than just educational purposes, sure, going on here. There are research purposes going on here, and there is leasing to private laboratories. There is a rental of retail space on ground floors to Pizza Hut and McDonald's.
Stephen
and
Murphy,
other
forgive me. I want to cut you off only because Tim Delaney sort of joined this conversation halfway in. The city council president there puts a lot on the table. Mr. Delaney, respond to this idea that this line between the big nonprofits and big corporations can be a blurry one.
Well, it's also blurry with the words tax-exempt land. The councilman indicated that 54% of the land in Boston is tax-exempt. Mm-hmm. That tax-exempt number includes federal property. It includes state property, such as the state capitol, that Golden Dome,
city property, and
city property, and all that other property. And so to fend this off as though nonprofits are owning so much more than half of the city.
But, Tim, that's not expanding.
The listeners need to understand.
What's expanding is universities.
Hold on, let's just let Mr. Delaney finish the point, and then we'll
move on. Well, then the other item is again, using the councilman's own language when he said, out of the gate in his opening. Mm-hmm. The initial first 40 invoices, these pilot bills, went out of the gate, the first top 40 nonprofit institutions in Boston. But where is it going to end? Who else are they going to send it to next go-round and the next go-round after that? And if there's any doubt in your mind, look at what's happening now in Palmer, Massachusetts. Palmer is now following Boston's lead, and it just sent out Boston-style tax bills to the American Legion, AMVETS, churches, children's camps, and on and on. Where is this going to end? Just because Boston says, and I believe the councilman when he says that the city has no other options in terms of its ways of raising revenue, but the solution is not to do what the law presently says you cannot do. Just as the law presently says that the city can't repost the speed limit up to 100 miles an hour. There are pollution limits that set by the Commonwealth that the city cannot ignore and impose its own laws. And so for the city to say, we want to take money away from nonprofit missions just because we have to, just because we want to, does not make it right.
Tim Delaney, Stephen Murphy, stand by. I want to get some callers in. We've got a bunch of them backed up to join this debate. We're talking today about the debate over Boston's attempt to compel the city's largest nonprofits to pay more in lieu of taxes. Is Boston taking too much from these nonprofits, or is this a good strategy? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255, and let's go to Craig, who's calling from Sudbury. Hi, Craig.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do
it. I was just wondering if the city councilman's formula took into account the fact that some of these nonprofits and universities provide their own police forces. Does the formula take into account that they won't be using those particular city services?
Interesting question. Thanks, Craig.
Well, they do have their own police forces. They don't have Chapter 90 powers. They don't have full investigatory powers in the city. So they do have traffic control within their own campuses powers. The fact of the matter is that the City of Boston Police Department responds to every incident in the city, whether it's on a campus or not. The City of Boston Fire Department responds to, there are no other fire departments. The Boston EMS responds to every emergency medical situation in the city.
So and even though they do have their own emergency services, they're still dependent on the Boston services.
The Boston services. Right. And you even look at some of the raucous victory parties we've had after some of our sports teams have won. We've had losses of life. And it's been City of Boston police, fire, et cetera, in the middle of that, and City of Boston payments to aggrieved parties because of that. And a lot of that is campus-generated.
Another call. Let's go to Jonathan, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a very curious subject matter. I thought that is there anything written into this formula that would kind of stipulate the size of the institutions? In other words, I could see major institutions, participating in this.
That's a good question, Jonathan. I think we've got a simple answer.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Stephen Murphy,
Originally, we looked at educational and medical institutions with $15 million or more in real estate value, and that's where it's focused right now. So there's a value. So a lot of your Boys and Girls Clubs, your YMCAs, some of your neighborhood health centers are not covered under this thing. This is basically aimed at your world-class medical and educational institutions in the city of Boston.
And although it's aimed there, again, this is, as the councilman said earlier, this is what's happening out of the gate. What happens tomorrow? What's happening next week? Who else will they be dinging with Dunning notices next time?
All right, now,
and even though it's supposedly only to the Eds and Meds, the American Association of Museums has cried foul as well, because one of their members has received one of these notices. Hmm. And so, again... this is the first step, but it's a very dangerous, slippery slope, and every nonprofit board member needs to understand that they are being asked to raise money now. How are they going to turn to a funder, a donor, to say, hi, can you give me money so I can turn around and give it to the city of Boston? And if they don't get that clearance, then will the attorney general be looking over their shoulder saying you shouldn't have done that? I ask this question because I'm the former chief deputy attorney general from one of the western states, and I'm aware of these things. Sure. And so you can't just do this without thinking through how it actually operates on the ground.
Well, these are provocative questions. Yeah, do you want to answer? I want to go get to one caller, one more caller, but go ahead,
Stephen
Murphy. I would
just simply say that, you know, if you look in the case of Partners Healthcare, which owns a bunch of hospitals in the city, they paid $3.5 million in a pilot payment to the city. Their tax-exempt property, if taxed, was $72 million. So 25% of that is $18 million. We also allow 50% of what we call community benefits. Those are those good works that we agree that the city might not be able to achieve on its own. So you take the $18 million and you divide it by half of roughly $9 million. And their new proposed pilot payment would be $7.5 million as opposed to $3.5 million. And they had record profits last year. And all I see in terms of our major universities is enrollments and endowments going up and up and up. And a lack of fairness with Boston property taxpayers.
Let me try and get at least one more call in here. Rob is calling from Alston. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to ask, do you think that if we start asking if the city starts asking for more money from these nonprofits, that it risks losing some of the services and benefits of these nonprofits? For example, I know universities often send student teachers out into the public schools. Do you think that might become too expensive?
Good question, Rob. Let me put that to Tim Delaney.
Well, I anticipate that the councilman will point out that part of their formula allows for the larger institutions that have been hit up so far will get some sort of a minor credit for that. However, again, this is the slippery slope situation where there are already nonprofits that are going under financially right now because of this great recession and all the burdens that have been placed on their shoulders. To then start taxing them. And again, I just look at the situation where this Boston experiment is spreading, and it's spreading like wildfire to other cities that are also hungry for money and ignoring their own state constitutions, where again, Palmer is out there issuing tax bills in Boston style to American veterans, the American Legion, churches, children camps. Where are we going to draw the line? I'm not one to normally cite Nancy Reagan, but I would ask the all nonprofits in the Boston area, just say no.
Hmm. Well, Stephen Murphy, in the time that remains, and there's not a lot of it left, how do you gauge success here? In other words, you've sent these notices out. What are you hearing back from these nonprofits?
We're not Palmer, first of all, and we're not anyplace else. We're the city of Boston with 54% of tax-exempt land, and the institutions bring us a lot, but they also cost us a lot. And frankly, they need to pony up and pay their fair share. And this is a voluntary program. So we're giving them a 50% deduction on their community benefits, their good works, and a five-year ramp up to get to where they should be. They've had a great deal going for them. When you think about Northeastern University paying $30,000 a year in a pilot payment and the average 65-year-old single-family homeowner paying $4,500, I mean, that's kind of crazy. So we're going to get some equity, we hope. We hope people will do what they're supposed to do. If not, we're certainly going to put it in the code so that we can point out who's a good neighbor and who isn't.
All
That's
right.
Well within our jurisdiction. It doesn't violate state law.
All right, Stephen Murphy, we're going to have to leave it there. That's Stephen Murphy, Boston City Council President. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's an honor. Thank you.
And Tim Delaney, President of the National Council for Nonprofits, thank you for coming in and offering another side to this important discussion. Very grateful to you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Sure. Stay with us. coming up, a new report says Massachusetts could save hundreds of millions of dollars by paying doctors and hospital uniform fees. Also, Shaquille O'Neal announces his retirement by tweet. Bill Littlefield tells us what it means for the Celtics. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.